Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome Michael Vandegaard, who has spent nearly 20 years in the NBA as a scout, now consulting with various NBA teams, and has also coached at the D1 level. And in addition, he is part owner of a venture called CoachTube.com. It's a platform online where various coaches from every level of every sport can do virtual clinics and can share instruction with potential athletes or even other coaches. CoachTube.com. So Michael Vandegaard, we're pleased to have you here on the show. How challenging is this process, evaluating young men who want to make the jump from college or from European leagues to the NBA?
Well, it's definitely challenging when you can't put your eyes on the prospects as much as you've been used to. You know, the COVID came through about March last year. So, you know, for the most part, you got to see them live, you know, in their habitat. But you always like to have meetings and have them, you know, in your facility and talk to them one-on-one. And then, get a chance to watch them in workouts outside of their team element. And that's something that teams haven't been able to do much this year. And that's really, really difficult to get a grasp of these kids. But on the flip side, I've said this before, you know, every team's in the same boat. So as long as every team's in the same boat and they haven't had a chance really to, you know, have these guys at their facilities, you know, and see them outside of their element playing 5-on-5, you know, at least they're all in the same boat. And so they have all the same information going forward.
How much concern is there about these young men being able to stay in shape without the same access to facilities or the same type of practices and system that maybe they've had in previous seasons?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big issue going forward. You know, a lot of times they have the summer league to prepare and they have a few months to get prepared for the NBA grind that's ahead of them. You know, they're going to turn this around here in a couple weeks and these kids definitely aren't in game shape. So that's going to be something that teams really rely heavily on, you know, with their training staff and the people that take care of their bodies. So, you know, the players just need to do the best they can, and it'll probably be a slow process. You know, a lot of these guys might not be playing as many minutes as they normally would at the start of the season, at the beginning of this year, just because, you know, that's a process that takes time.
When you do see these tapes or virtual workouts, whatever tools that you're using to evaluate, what are you looking for to know if a player is ready to make that jump to the NBA?
Well, it obviously starts with, you know, the size and the athleticism and the body the person has. You know, once you take that all into account, then you got to evaluate their skill level. You know, how talented are they? You know, can they shoot the ball? Can they handle it? Can they pass? But it really starts with the size and athleticism. I don't think people really realize how big and strong and athletic these kids are, you know, when you watch them on video. When you see these NBA players in person, they are huge human beings. And it's really amazing. You know, I'm a 6'7 guy, played professional basketball in college, and I'm amazed at how big and athletic these guys are on a daily basis. And it always starts from there. And after that, like I said, you evaluate their skill set and try to predict if they're going to be, you know, a solid NBA player for your franchise.
I suppose the old adage is true. You can't teach size.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we drafted Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and those men are absolutely huge human beings. And you just don't get that understanding of how large these players are and how athletic they are, you know, by watching it on video. You know, you see guys dunk the basketball, and it's just kind of a normal thing on SportsCenter highlights or, you know, the nightly news. But you see that live and in person, and your jaw can just drop. And I've been doing it 25 years of my life, and my jaw still drops sometimes.
When he says we, Michael Vandegaard refers to the Philadelphia 76ers. He was an NBA scout with them for nearly 20 years and has also coached at the Division I level and consulted with some NBA teams as this draft, this atypical, unconventional draft approaches. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny, one of the things you hear a lot is, I see the potential there. So you're talking about trying to evaluate talent and predict whether or not that's going to translate in your years doing this. What are a few things that you look for that may indicate that that player can actually take his skills and be coachable and that those will translate at the pro game?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I think a lot of it starts with just the size and the athleticism of the player. You know, you look for that, especially on the defensive end. You look for their end, you know, intensity. You look for their consistent effort on that end. And once you can evaluate that they're, you know, hey, they're going to be slotted as a point guard or small forward or power forward because of their size and athleticism. Then you evaluate their talent. And today's game, it really revolves around the ability to shoot the basketball. You know, how well does he shoot it? You know, can he handle it and pass it? Mm. Can he be a team player and fit our system that we're trying to run here with our franchise? So it's a lot of things that go into it. But like I said, it always starts with the size and athleticism, and then you evaluate the skill set going forward. And then you also take into account the age of the player. You know, you can handle some warts and handle some things that maybe they're not perfect at if they're 19 years old. You know, you look at an Obi Toppin, and he's much more of a developed player and an all-around player, but he's also 22 or 23. So you have to take that into account. And I always say the younger kids have more upside, and people always wonder, like, hey, why are you always drafting all these 19-year-old kids? Well, in 3 or 4 years, you fix a few flaws, and they turn out to be a much better player down the road.
How much does it matter their attitude, their behavior, maybe if there was, I don't know, an incident in their past? I mean, how far do you think a team should be willing to go when it comes to a young man who maybe has some questionable personality characteristics or behavioral traits?
Well, that's always a conundrum for everybody in the NBA front offices. You know, talent always trumps anything. You can get away with a lot more shenanigans, you know, on the sidelines if you're awfully talented.
Sure.
But with that said, you know, the NBA player has really, really, I think, blossomed in the last 20 years since I've been doing this. I think there were a lot more, I would say, quote, knuckleheads 20 years ago than there are today. You go back and you do intel on these players, and it's just amazing what quality of kids are coming into the NBA in today's day and age. And then you look for, you know, their work ethic, what their coaches say, what their teachers say. You know, that background intel is a big part of, hey, do we think he's going to fully develop to his ultimate potential? People talk all the time about his upside. Well, you just need to know, is he going to reach that upside?
Right.
Or is he going to give me the effort to reach that upside? And so that's really where it comes down to, you know, the background and the intel and maybe some of the issues they've had, and can they overcome those?
Mm. You mentioned that you played pro ball and obviously also in college and then coaching too. What do you think is the biggest challenge, maybe the biggest hurdle for a young man when he makes that jump from college ball to the NBA?
You know, I think the speed of the game, you know, the 24-second shot clock, the size and athleticism and the speed of the game just gets amped up every time you take that step, whether it's from high school to college or whether it becomes college to the NBA. I think they're really, you know, bright-eyed and they're shocked a little bit when they first get there about how fast the game is played. And sometimes, you know, I talk to fans or I talk to people in the stands or friends, and they talk about, you know, it doesn't look like these guys are trying. You know, it's amazing the ability of these guys and the athleticism and the fact that they can, you know, do these things at their size and the intensity going on when it doesn't look like there's intensity.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just an awesome feeling to be in the stands and watching these guys play.
I know it doesn't matter maybe as much this year because of the cancellation of March Madness and not having that big stage, but also just to all of the challenges of an off season that was relatively limited. But how much does it matter? How much do you put stock into going to a college where you know they generate a lot of pro talent and you know the coaches understand the type of talent it takes to succeed at the next level?
Yeah, I think you definitely look for the blue blood programs, you know, to start with their talent and how good those guys are. But there's been so many players the last few years that have come from smaller programs and that have been drafted in the top 10 and turned out to be, you know, amazing players. You look at Ja Morant, you know, the second pick in last year's draft.
Right.
Now he's, you know, become an amazing player. You go a couple years further back, you look at Damian Lillard, you know, and the amazing things he's done in the league. And then you even go to one of the best players in the NBA today, currently Steph Curry. So you can go back and find these guys. And I don't know if it necessarily, you know, means anything special to be from a blue blood school or not, but you just need to find that talent wherever it may be. And as we all know, the international game is just growing and growing. And
right.
You look at Luka Doncic and the success that he's had. And, you know, with saying some of these smaller schools and international guys, there's probably two or three international guys in the lottery. And there's a smaller kid, Obi Toppin from Dayton, you know, who's going to probably be in the top five or six. So you're just trying to find talent wherever it may be.
Michael Vandergaard served as an NBA scout for 18 years with the Sixers. He's coached at the D1 level and is also doing some consulting as we get ready for the draft coming up on Wednesday night. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny because Damian Lillard was the name that I was thinking of as I was asking that question. And also you bring up the European talent or talent from overseas. Certainly there's a difference in the way that many of those young men come over to the United States and are prepared versus maybe some domestic talent. What do you see as the major differences between a European player and one that is homegrown?
You know, it's interesting. Those European players are professionals, you know, when they get to middle school for the most part and all the way through high school, they're professionals. You know, they're getting paid. They're doing it countless hours a day where the kids, you know, here aren't really doing that. I think the biggest hurdle for international players is the athleticism. You know, they haven't seen that athleticism on a daily basis like most of these Americans have. So if the international players can adjust to that athleticism and size standpoint for the American player, then they're going to have great success. You know, the American kids have grown up and seen it all along the way, and it's not as big a transition for them.
Got it. So then as we get ready for this draft, who you've mentioned Obi a couple of times, but who are some players that have caught your eye that you think will be successes or at least have the potential to succeed in the NBA?
Well, obviously, you always look at the top of the draft. I think it's pretty much a consensus that Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman are probably the three top picks. I think you can go in multiple different orders. I'd be a little bit surprised if James Wiseman is the number one pick, but, you know, those three guys is probably where you start, you know, and then you go to an older player like Obi Toppin, who's going to be drafted in the top four or five. You look at some of the international guys, Denny Avia, you know, from Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's a really interesting prospect, and he'll go in the top five as well. And then I think there's a guy that not many people have talked about, a kid named Patrick Williams. He's out of Florida State. He's a 6'8 freshman. He actually didn't play but about 20, 22 minutes, and he is a heck of a talent. You know, will he maximize that talent like we talked about, and how much better can he get? And he's by far one of the youngest players in the draft. I think he just turned 19 in August.
Mm.
So, you know, he's a guy to keep your eyes on, and it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like the Chicago Bulls maybe take him at pick number four, quite a few picks higher than most people are picking.
This is a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for scouts, for people who work in your area of the business. So is draft night like Christmas for you?
Oh, man, it's the greatest thing in the world. I'll tell you what, the excitement is everywhere. you know, you work your butt off for 365 days a year, and you really, as a scout, only have that one day of payoff. So it's exactly like Christmas. That's a great, great analogy. I love it.
How far ahead do you work as a scout, Michael? I mean, are you already looking at kids that are in high school?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been really trying to study for the last few years is the high school groups and, you know, studying these kids that are incoming freshmen, studying actually the seniors in high school and the juniors and all the way down to the sophomores. I've started to scout the sophomores in high school this next year. So that's the 2023 possible draft class if they would change the age limit from straight out of high school. Otherwise, you know, they'd be in the draft in 2024. So that's what I've been spending my last 2 years doing and really helping NBA teams and doing a scouting service and consulting for them on the high school kids primarily.
How do you get tape or how do you have access to any type of film on kids that young?
You know what? It's pretty amazing today. Now they have so much technology that everybody's taping their games and everybody's putting them all over the internet on multiple platforms. But on the flip side, there's high school tournaments all over the country. You know, last year I went to 7 or 8 high school tournaments, and at those tournaments you get to see, you know, multiple kids on multiple, you know, high-level teams like Montverde and IMG, and a bunch of NBA players have come from those programs. So you can go to a one-stop shop and see 8 teams in a weekend. I'm actually supposed to be going to Dallas this weekend for a tournament that's got Imani Bates, you know, and LeBron James' son, Bronny James, and some of the highest level talent here in Texas. I live in Austin, Texas, and we're actually still playing basketball. So I'm looking forward to go see that tournament this weekend.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun just to see people competing, considering all of the challenges. Michael Vandegaard spent 18 years with the Philadelphia 76ers as a scout and is doing some consulting as Christmas approaches for the scouting community. It is really good to talk to you. Thank you so much for answering all of my questions.
Yes, it was great. It was great. And I can't wait to open our presents tomorrow and see what teams that we're following and who we get for our draft night picks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.